tipped his hat. Driving off the ferry, she felt herself blinking back tears, remembering the last time she'd come here. It had been Thanksgiving, and she, Lewis, and their kids had decided to celebrate the holiday at the Cove rather than in Charleston. Lewis never could have imagined as he'd carved turkey that a week later he would become embroiled in a scandal, that he would be seen in a compromising position with one of his female students. Despite declaring that he was simply comforting her, and there was nothing improper going on between him and the student, Lewis Robinson was suspended pending a school board hearing. Tensions and emotions were fever-pitched as Charlestonians formed opposing factions while Lewis awaited his fate. Deborah blamed those who were quick to judge her husband for his death, and all of their condolences fell on deaf ears when the truth was finally revealed. The truth had come too late. She'd lost her husband of 18 years, and Whitney and Crystal their father. Slowing and coming to a complete stop, she reached for a tissue and blotted the tears, praying for a time when the tears wouldn't come without warning or so easily. It took several minutes, but after taking a few deep breaths, she was back in control. Stepping on the accelerator, Deborah drove slowly along the paved road, bordered on both sides by palmetto trees and ancient oaks draped with Spanish moss. She maneuvered onto the quaint main street and suddenly felt another rush of sadness. But this one was not personal. Like so many small towns across the United States, she realized the Cove was slowly dying. She noticed more boarded-up storefronts. The sidewalks were cracked, and even the Cove Inn, a boarding house and one of the grandest houses on the island, needed a new coat of white paint. Deborah drove into the small parking lot behind Jack's Fish House. After only a cup of coffee earlier that morning, she needed to eat before throwing herself into the chore of cleaning the house. There were more than a dozen cars in the lot, some she recognized as belonging to local fishermen. The winter temperature on Kavanaugh was at least 10 degrees warmer than in Charleston, so she left her wool jacket in the car. Reaching for her purse, she walked up from the lot to the entrance of the restaurant, an establishment that was known for serving some of the best seafood in the Low Country. The familiar interior of Jack's Fish House hadn't changed in decades. Tables hewn from tree trunks bore the names and initials of countless lovers, ex-lovers, and those who wanted to achieve immortality by carving their names into a piece of wood. Only the light fixtures had changed, from bulbs covered by frosted globes to hanging lamps with Tiffany-style shades. A trio of ceiling fans turned at the lowest speed to offset the buildup of heat coming from the kitchen each time the cafe doors swung open. The year before, the Jacksons had added a quartet of flat-screen televisions, primarily for the fishermen who went out at dawn and returned midday with their nets laden with crabs, oysters, and shrimp. Deborah walked past restaurant regulars and a few strange faces to sit at a round table for two in a far corner. The mouth-watering aromas coming from dishes carried by the waitstaff triggered a hunger she hadn't felt in weeks. She knew she'd lost too much weight, and although she had cooked for Whitney and Crystal, she would take only a few forkfuls of food before feeling full. Suddenly, a shadow fell over the table, and her head popped up. Lavina Jackson, wearing a pair of overalls and a bibbed apron, arms crossed under her apple bosom, gave Deborah a sad smile. Her gray hair was covered with a hairnet.
"Stand up, baby, and let Vina hold you.
I'm so sorry about Lewis." Deborah couldn't hold back tears as she sank into the comforting softness of Lavina's well-rounded figure. The smell of yeast and lily of the valley wafted in her nostrils, a fragrance Lavina had worn for as long as Deborah remembered. "Thank you, Miss Vina." Lavina rocked her back and forth.
"You know the Cove would have turned out for you if you hadn't had a private service."
"I know that, Miss Vina. But I would have lost it if the hypocrites who were so quick to judge Lewis would have shown up to pay their so-called respects."
"All you had to do was say the word, and we would have been there for you with bells on. Ain't no way we gonna let them two-faced, egg-sucking vultures hurt one of our own. We would have turned it out."
"Then we all would have been on the front page of the State or the Post and the Courier. Not to mention footage on the local television news," Deborah murmured.
"I just wanted you to know we would have..."